First one.
Do it better.
All right. Welcome.
Hi.
And welcome inliners.
And then 442.
441 in hymn. We're going to get started. Sing one of my favorite hymns. Love lifted me.
Keep me close to David.
441. All three verses.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.
Blessed Redeemer, for our sins.
suffered and bled and died. Be our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful.
Slips and it looks like I'm giving mixed signals. The reason I'm doing this is because Katie Hintz has been teaching ASL sign language, and that's how the deaf do number three.
Oh.
Now, I'm learning how to spell my name, and I'm not going to try it right now because I don't miss it.
Well, I can't.
But when it does, when I do my, well, with sign language. But my last name starts with the letter M, and I have a real problem. Because M, you're supposed to put your thumb in between those two fingers. My thumb's not long enough. I can't. I have to force it in there.
She said, just do the best you can.
She said,
I thought it's hard enough to stick.
Most people would be able to tell that you're trying to do that. But.
Yeah.
What is difficult is putting the sentences together when they're.
I'm just talking about spelling my name right now. No sentences.
They're so fast and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was explaining that in her first lesson. She's posting them online, and we're going to have a link on our website.
That's cool.
She's got a group that she's teaching out there. All right, 4:45.
You got feet.
Yeah.
We tried. It's not easy. We'll need a smaller church. We'll have to make some people leave.
Well, let's see if the internet fires up while we're singing. I was going to show you that we have a setup so people can go on the internet and sing along, but we'll show you that another time. Let's sing all five verses. No, not one.
Hang on a second. I'm telling the folks online.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who kind of rely on this internet feed. They don't have any other service they attend. And if it's messed up, then we can't post it later on Sermon Audio. So.
I just got a message from Self, and I have to have Wi-Fi to do that. So Wi-Fi's working.
All right.
Hopefully we'll be okay. Send me a text, guys. Let me know it's working okay. Alright, someone says they spoke too soon.
Let's just sing this and then we'll worry about it.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not
not afraid. That's a Johnson Oatman Jr. and George Hug. Begin in John 21. If you want to get your King James Bibles open, verses 15 through 17.
You guys want me to? Sure.
Onliners, if you can hear me, get your prayer requests in. bbfohio@protonmail.com. And Janie is doing less hobbling and more walking tonight. We're glad to see that.
She slept in her brace all those days.
Well, do what you got to do. Amen.
I felt a little better yesterday when I got up this morning and took it off. I was like dancing in the house, like, yes. I'm happy
for you.
I'll tell you.
Kind of reminded me of Jacob.
Hello, Charlie. Hello, Libby.
All
hello,
right.
Ezra.
Hello, Johnny. Johnny disappeared. Uh-oh. So when you get that, if we can get a sound check back there on the camera.
Hello, Smith family. Charmaine, Katie, and everyone else out there. Nice to see you.
Definitely. Okay. And make sure it's zoomed in. Oh, there's Johnny. He'll make sure it's zoomed in. And silence all your phones. We've been trying to, as you can see tonight, there's always something. And the BBF Ohio Radio, for some reason, was giving people some trouble. Brother Pedro was saying he couldn't get it to work for him, so we messed around here and there, and I put a link directly to the feed. If you're on your phone or if you're on the computer, if you go to bbfohio.com and click on the banner link, bbfohioradio.com, and that comes up then in your browser.
I had to say hi to baby.
And you should be able to, that's 24/7. Our radio station program manager is Jenny Miller, and she's worked very hard over the last few weeks to get all the messages up. Amen. So that it'll play. And
amen.
So Brother Harmon that we've talked about has given us the infrastructure, and we're trying to keep him from having to babysit us as we keep it going. And we have dozens of people from all around the world every day listening to the radio and the internet at that station, bbfioradio.com. So it's a big blessing to a lot of people, and it's a blessing for us to just be able to do it. And with that, we'll get into the current events updates. Hold your questions and comments if you would. Headline reviews in the news. We're going to start with, we once again demonstrate the fact that white liberals are the real white supremacists.
Exactly what they are.
White liberals are the white supremacists. This white man, oh no, he's not a white man. Larry Elder is a conservative. He's not a Democrat. He is a man of color. And he asks this very important question. If so-called white savior movies are racist, how many of you know what a white savior movie is? Mm-hmm. How many of you watch the movie where there's minorities, usually blacks, and some white guy or white gal or white people come in and help them out? Well, some of those are based on true stories, by the way. But now it's considered racist.
No.
So you're probably not going to see any movies where white people help other people who aren't white, evidently. Because if a white person helps you, they're racist. you can't explain insane. You know, the liberals are nuts and you can't explain it. But if
those so-called white savior movies are racist, why aren't white savior politicians?
Yeah.
You have all these white saviors of the minorities. I don't even have to tell you who they are, because mostly those in the Democrat Party, liberals, white liberals, have been telling everybody since I was a kid, and I know it started before that, so we're talking for more than half a century. White liberals have been telling minorities, vote for me, and
I'll save you.
Your life, all your dreams will come true. 50 years later, ain't happening. But I just thought, it's less than 2 minutes, but this is a little clip from Larry Elder. I just thought you'd enjoy hearing, if our internet's going to work. And we've been having trouble all night. And there, it looks like it might be working. But Larry Elder, if you remember, the California had a chance to elect him as governor. But evidently, they're racist. They voted for the white guy.
It's your F5.
What's F5?
It's just refresh. Doesn't look very promising.
Yeah. Are the onliners still on? I mean.
Nobody has said anything, but it could be I'm just off the Wi-Fi.
Well, we apologize, but it's out of our hands. I can't tell. Is that thing lit up?
You restarted the router?
Yeah. Are all the little green lights on back there?
I see green light.
I see green and all, but...
Well...
But it's on now.
That's a real bummer, because that's...
that's going to be funny.
It's a very different browser. I know that's crazy.
Unless your computer's upset because it didn't get restarted when everything else got restarted. Okay. My liners are still there, so it's just your problem, it looks like.
I restarted my computer, and it seems to not be helping any. So I'll post the link.
It's a sign from God. We're not supposed to watch it.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. I'll post a link online, but if you can look it up on Rumble. It's Larry Elder Slam's top 5 most cringeworthy white savior films, and that's actually not the theme of the video. Is like you said, you have these films. Well, if it's all right for, or if it's racist for these films to be depicting white people helping minorities, that's the agenda. Stated agenda of the liberal left. So, and see, what I was going to say afterwards, and I'll go back to my slides here, but there's a fact. White liberals believe that minorities are inferior. And that's been the case all my life, but people haven't had the guts to say it. When you get around a liberal, everybody's like, ooh. I was in school, and I would say things. I wasn't even a Christian. I would just say things that made sense. And I'd get in trouble. I didn't get punished, but I would be verbally reprimanded for all I did was not say what is supposed to be said. And I could list off all kinds of things. You know, if you're in mixed company, you're not supposed to say that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world and all other religions are false. True, but you're not supposed to say that. And you're not supposed to say that killing a baby in the womb is murder. And then pointing out to, especially to a female, but a male or female, let's say it's a male or female, if they had purposely got somebody pregnant, or if the woman purposely got pregnant, then when that baby's in the womb, they talk to it and call it a baby. Unless they don't want it, and then they kill it.
Yeah.
And deny that it's murder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
White liberals have come up with things like affirmative action, where the highest qualified person doesn't get the job. They go based on skin color. completely opposite of what Martin Luther King, who's going to be celebrated this month, the opposite of his speech. I have a dream that one day man will be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And by the way, there are a lot of minority people who will agree with what you're hearing right now, but it's still like you go outside in the world, you're just not supposed to say these things. You're a racist if you say the truth. They also use minorities to push their Marxist agenda. They convince these minorities that they believe are inferior, that they need me, and they need me because I'm going to put in Marxist policies and programs. And that's where America is heading. It's going to hell in a handbasket. By the way, Thomas Jefferson, I believe, was the first that I remember saying, readings this quote from, that democracy can only last until the people realize that they can elect people who will give them a pay raise.
Yeah.
And once they realize that by electing people like that, they get a pay raise, then that's the end of it.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. We'll close this current events update with some snapshots. This is a book I look forward to reading. Peter Schweitzer, who's done some amazing work in the past and is totally ignored by the Marxist news media. You won't see him on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, or MSNBC, or PBS, NPR, whatever, because they're a bunch of scumbags. But this guy just does the research, and listen, doesn't matter which political party or any political party, he just does the research. He's got a book called Red Handed, and it's to expose bad actors on both ends who do China's bidding. At the top there, you see Beijing, Biden, and Winnie the Pooh, or whatever his name is. At the bottom of the book, you see John Boehner. What party was he in?
Republicans.
Then you see Elon Musk. Then you see Nancy Pelosi. And then you see LeBron James. And then there's Henry Kissinger. What party was he in? Yeah. And then Bill Gates. So, you know, this book's just going to tell like it is. Can't wait to read it. Just coming out. Biden, we'll call him Beijing Biden just for honesty's sake. Beijing Biden to lobby the Senate Democrats in person on gutting the filibuster for partisan rewrite of U.S. voting laws. Marxists like Biden and the Democrat Party can only win if they continue to get by with cheating.
Yep, that's right.
That's why they want to rewrite the voting laws. They want to make it as easy as possible for people who shouldn't be voting to vote and for them to get by with voting more than once. Over 100 U.S. Marines have been discharged, and that number goes up every day. This was 23 days ago. I didn't notice that. The number's up to like 260, I believe, for refusing COVID vaccine as thousands of service members face removal. Thousands are going to be kicked out of the military because they won't take experimental gene therapy shots. The Biden Marxists continue to weed out constitutionalists and Christians. They're turning our military into a dangerous collection of leftists, just like they did in Nazi Germany, so that they'll have people who are more likely to be willing to shoot you.
Yep.
That's what they're doing.
Yep. That's right.
And Americans are just going to stay asleep and let it happen every night. After the rapture, they can have it.
Amen.
And reporting to you on Donald Trump shooting himself in the foot. He's shooting both feet now. And he takes a veiled shot at Ron DeSantis and rips what he called gutless politicians who won't say if they got the booster shot. He thinks that it's bragging rights that he's been double vaxxed and boosted. I just hope he doesn't drop dead like so many other people are. But DeSantis was asked about it, and he didn't come right out and answer the question. So I just comment that Trump continues to undermine his re-election GOP nomination by insulting those who reject the vaccination. I don't have a problem with Donald Trump getting vaccinated. We talked about this before. But I do have a problem with anybody, number one, mandating it, and number two, trying to use insults and intimidation.
Yeah.
You know what? If it's so bad that you have to insult me and intimidate me to take your stupid shot, then shut up. Amen. And that includes Donald Trump.
Amen.
Your shot isn't worth anything.
Amen.
And everybody knows it, and that's why so many people aren't taking it. And if you have to force people to take a shot for a pandemic that has a 99.9% survival rate, while everybody out here knows you're lying to us when you tell us we're approaching 1 million dead. We're not approaching 1 million dead.
Amen.
It's less than 200,000 at best. Amen. 1 million people died who had COVID, but they died of a heart attack, died of getting run over by a car, died of gunshot wounds, died of drug overdoses, died by suicide, and you liars count them as COVID deaths, and we're not stupid enough to believe you.
Amen.
Sometimes I've told you this, I've thought about running for office just so I can get on TV and just say those things, you know.
Yeah.
No desire to even be elected. But just to get on TV and say these things.
Call each other the New American Liberation Front.
That sounds too communist for me, Liberation Front.
Liberate.
All these liberation and it's a peace of these people's things too. You ever notice that? People's Republic of China.
Yeah.
It was the People's Church that Jim Jones wiped people out. You gotta watch when people talk about it, they use those words.
Amen.
I'll tell you another word you gotta watch when they use democracy.
Yeah,
you're probably looking at a communist. And once in a while, a conservative will use that word because it sounds good, but they're stupid because we are not a democracy.
Amen.
We have democratic elections, but we are a constitutional republic. And I don't mean this in any profane way. I mean it. To hell with democracy.
Amen.
If you want your country to go to hell, implement democracy. We have democratic elections, but then we are a representative republic. And we're going to lose our constitution, our republic, because the kids graduate from high school, they're plumb stupid. They have no idea where they come from. They don't know about their own history. And I was one of them. When I graduated from high school, I didn't know squat.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea how our government ran. If Jay Leno had walked up to me when I was 18 years old in the street, I'd looked as stupid as the rest of the people he talks to. I didn't know. The schools aren't about education today. Some of the teachers are, but overall the system isn't.
Well, that's the National Education Association or Extortion Association.
The NEA is Marxist.
Oh, yeah.
There are teachers who belong to that who aren't, but the leadership and I believe the majority now are Marxist.
Yep, and that is Soviet.
We had a few teachers down where I grew up who'd never joined the teachers' union. Man, they got a lot of flack about it, I was told. But all right, anybody, one last time, you got anything you want to ask or say about that? Jenny?
Is the China book going to go on the BBF shelf once you're done with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, we have some other good books over here if you read. I'm more of an audio book, but it's because of my vision. But I do like to read. Janie?
They say those shots are so good, and they're not. My friend Tammy, I put her on the prayer list for prayer. She took both shots. I know she didn't take the Johnson & Johnson, but she took both shots, and she ended up with COVID. She's off work right now.
Yeah. We could spend the rest of the night telling story after story after story of people who got the shot, didn't have any heart problems until they got the shot, and then suddenly they have heart problems.
Yep.
Myocarditis, pericarditis, what's the other, what they're saying is that the...
Arrhythmias.
Yeah, arrhythmia, aneurysms. Blood clots, all that. But what they're saying is that the spike proteins are causing heart damage, not just swelling. And so
they're damaging the heart tissue.
Yeah. And we don't wish that on anybody, but it's just what a reality of what's going on. Mark?
Yeah, case in point, you know, when all this, when they started, you know, first getting the vaccines out last year, Hank Aaron was one of the first ones to say, a famous baseball player. 2 weeks after he took that shot, he's dead.
We can show you a video of all the people who got the shot within a couple of weeks, and a lot of them are
some perfect health.
Well, he was, you know, just, he was old and all that, so that's why some people blow that off. But you can watch videos of guys in their 20s and 30s in tip-top shape who never had any problem at all, dropping on the basketball court, dropping out playing soccer, and dropping on the football field. They showed one kid, he's only 20 or 21 years old, and just dropped dead. Wow. And, you know, but unless the news media, you know, unless the pretty-faced talking heads come on ABC and CBS and CNN, now if they do that, all these people believe them. But until it comes on the news, quote unquote, they're not going to believe it. They're brainwashed, and there's people that no matter what you say, they're brainwashed. It's like 1984, George Orwell, and people are just boom, 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 boom. You know, it's just crazy. All right, well, that's enough of that, because we want to get into some Bible study tonight. I want to answer a couple of very important questions. If anybody tries to make you doubt this book, then we want to answer those questions. So let's open with a word of prayer. And Brother Doug's got his glasses on, so he can see good to pray. So go ahead, and Brother Doug, and pray for us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. Pray that the pastor's got something good to say, that we can take it, and we can take it home and read it and study it. And we don't just study here. We need to take things home and study it.
Amen.
Be a good brand and study the word. Show thyself. And you know, Lord God, we need it bad and even worse today because of the way society's becoming.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for this time and this wonderful place to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, tonight we're in John 21. We're going to read three verses, 15 through 17. Now, the key to this title, I want you to notice before we get started, agape versus phileo. We're not talking about fish. Agape versus phileo and other nonsense, because we're going to talk about a couple other things. But the key word there is versus. That versus means one, like one's against the other. One is juxtaposed against the other. I love that word, juxtaposed, and I got to say it tonight. Now, most of the following, I just want you to know, I've gleaned this from Peter Ruckman, Sam Gipp, David Reagan, and a couple other people. Back in the 90s, I heard what you're about to hear refuted tonight, taught in numerous churches by numerous preachers.
Amen.
It's right up there with the Shekinah.
Yeah.
You heard of the Shekinah? Pagan nonsense. Not in the Bible. Shekinah is a pagan female deity. Has no place in the Bible, no place in the script. You know what the Bible calls it? The glory of God.
That's right.
Why do we need some pagan word? Isn't the glory of God good enough? Amen?
Amen.
So that's just another example of the nonsense you hear taught these days by so many. Let's go ahead and read the odd verses. You read with me 15 and 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. All God's people say, Feed my sheep. So the King James Bible is criticized for using the word love seven times in this text to translate two Greek words. In the Greek text, agape and phileo show up every time you see the word love in the text. Now, this is what it looks like. And you say, well, it's all Greek to me.
Amen.
But you see there, underneath lovest thou in the top box there, that is agapeo. And then that's Jesus saying, lovest thou me, agapeo. And then you go down here below, and Peter says, I love thee, and he says, phileo. And then the next verse. Again, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou, agapeo me? And Peter then says, I love thee, phileo. So after using agapeo twice, Jesus switches then to phileo, the word that Peter was using. Simon, son of Jonas, this is verse 17, third time, lovest thou me? And he says, phileo. And Peter was grieved because he said in the third time, lovest phileo thou me. Now see, first of all, it says right there, Peter's telling you there's no difference in the word. I mean, their words are different, but they mean the same thing. He said unto him the third time. It didn't say, he said twice agapeo, now he's saying phileo. That's not how Peter viewed it. Peter viewed it as a third time saying, lovest thou me? He just used a different word for love. And then he comes down and says, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo. So now what preachers will do is they'll take this text, and of course they most of the time will sound very sure of themselves when most all of them have no idea what they're talking about. They read this in a commentary somewhere, or some of them heard another preacher preach it. They didn't do any original research.
Yep.
But they'll make you think they did. So the case is made that Peter was unable to say that he agapeo loved God, but could only phileo. Now think of that. They say agapeo is this deep divine love, and phileo is a brotherly love, and Peter couldn't say that to Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Peter couldn't tell God that he has this divine deep love for him. He could only tell God he has kind of a brotherly kind of love.
You're all right. I like you.
Yeah. You know Jesus. He was the original Doobie Brother. Jesus is just all right. Oh, yeah. You know? That's not what he's saying. The word phileo and the word agapeo both are used interchangeably. And they're used to mean both things. How do you know what's being said? By the context.
Amen.
You don't know by which words being used. You know by the context.
Amen.
So this is nonsense. I'm not sure what that word is in the Greek, but in English, it's nonsense. Now, let's do a little scripture with scripture with a little agape and phileo are used interchangeable throughout scripture. I'm just going to show you a couple places where the same thing is said, but in one place agapeo and one place phileo. So let's compare identical texts. We'll start with your mother and father, Jenny Albaugh. We'll let your mother read Matthew 23:6, and then father can read Luke 11:43.
What's the
epitome? Matthew 23:6.
What did you say, CFM?
You'd have to go to seminary to learn that. So.
This just means that you're going to compare it to it.
All right, go ahead, Jill. Matthew 23:6.
And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues.
All right, now, John, what's Luke 11:43 say? Use the microphone there, brother. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's for the onliners mostly.
Closer, Dad.
Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets.
All right, it's pretty much the same thing. And love the uppermost rooms, phileo. For ye love the uppermost seats, agapeo.
Wow.
Now hold on. We just talked about Peter not being able to tell God he agapeo, he loves him. Now, some guy, Jesus is saying some guy loves the uppermost rooms to the point in the uppermost seats that it's an agapeo love. Boy, he loves that seat, don't he? I mean, if you're going to define agapeo as some divine, deep love, that's quite a love for a seat. But they're the same thing used interchangeably right there. It's the exact same thing. Jessica?
So could that not be that, you know, throughout the Bible, like in the parables, he would use something, maybe a word, and then later on in the verse define it. Could that not be that?
No, this is just using the two different words for the word love.
Yeah.
And he means, that's the point.
So that the Bible is saying it's the same thing.
What you were talking about is parables.
It's no. Love. I don't know.
All right, let me make it clear. He said the same thing, but he used phileo in one place and agape in the other.
Well,
so obviously the word love is used because they're both saying the same thing using two different words.
Okay, so I didn't mean parable.
But that's the point of the study.
It's just that...
The point of the study is to demonstrate that he would say agape one time, phileo another time, saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And they both mean the same thing.
Right.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Jenny?
I know, it kind of reminds me of, like, with language, we've got soda and pop and Coke. And it's just depending on where you are in America, but they all mean the same thing.
Right.
But I might call it soda, and then Johnny calls it pop because he's weird.
I'm Grandpa. I'm Papaw. Uh-huh. They mean the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's many words like that.
The sign language for that is...
Let's look... He knows. Yeah. Let's look at love twice in one chapter of Revelation. Let's let Janie go to Revelation 3:9 and Mary go to Revelation 3:19. This is going to be in the same chapter of Revelation, the word love being used. Revelation 3:9. And then verse 19.
Okay, give me one quick second.
No, you got to look it up first and then take notes.
I'm writing it down real quick.
And do that after you look it up. That's the whole point.
I know, but you would shift and then I wouldn't get it.
Revelation 3:9.
Okay, I'm there.
Hold on. I need another hand. Okay, 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. And I know that I have loved thee.
Loved thee. Okay, now Mary, verse 19.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
So both verses use the word love in one chapter in Revelation 3. Now, verse 9, it was agapeo. In verse 19, phileo. You really believe that he's saying love in two different ways in these verses? No. So when people make that claim, you hear preachers make that claim, it's nonsense. And what they're doing, here's the big issue with it, are two things. Number one, what they're doing is trying to make you think that you don't really have enough.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You need the man. You need me, who's, I can tell you what it really means.
Yeah,
That's seriously, that's what they're doing. They want, they're setting up a whole different type of priest class. I mean, in the Roman church, you got to go to the priest to get absolution and all that. And only the church is supposed to tell you what the Bible means. They're doing the same thing in evangelicalism today.
Absolutely.
They will sell you 100 different Bibles. And they'll have one for you if you're in the military, one if you're a cop, one if you're a woman, one if you're a man, one if you're a teenager, one if you're an old person, one if you're married, one if you're single, one if you're getting ready to have a baby, another one if you're into cars. It doesn't matter what it is. They've got every version in 20 different types, and people buy them like it's the Bible of the Month Club. And they are making merchandise of everybody, selling you perverted, corrupt garbage.
Amen.
And they then want you to think that you can't even trust however many or whatever Bibles you have. And of course you can't trust that old King James.
Yeah.
So what do you got to have? You got to have a Greek.
Got to have a pastor.
And just like you have fake news, these guys are all fake Greeks.
Amen.
They could not tell you, if you hand them a Greek text without any, there's interlinear Bibles where there's Greek and then English underneath it. But if you hand them a Greek text that doesn't have anything but Greek, they're as clueless as if you were trying to read Chinese Mandarin. They are pretenders. They're fakes. The King James Bible is not in error using the word love every single of those seven times in John 21, 15 to 17. The claim is nonsense. In spite of this, the claim is that the King James Bible is in error, insinuating that a better translation would be. You know how dumb that is? You'll hear them say it. A better translation here would be, it is unfortunate that our King James Bible translators use the same word, love, to translate two very different words. They're hypocrites.
Amen.
Why do I say that? Agape and phileo are translated by a single word, love, in all the new versions.
Yep.
If that's really true, what you're being taught by these guys, why does every single new version do the exact same thing?
Because they're the same.
Because they're the same. Let's go back and look at our text in the new versions. Here's the NIV. And you may not be able to read the print, but every red block is where the word love shows up. Whether it's agape or phileo in the NIV, they translated it using the word love.
Wow.
The ESV, same thing. The New American Standard.
I like the New American Standard. It's a more literal approach to the Bible, but it does, I believe, brings things out better. I just like, bleh.
Every single time, it's the word love. The only attempt to practice this false narrative that they preach is in the so-called Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible, I'm going to read it to you. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do with the total commitment and devotion? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Again, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with a total commitment and devotion? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with a deep personal affection for me as for a close friend? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you really love me with a deep personal affection as for a close friend? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Now, I have no fear in saying this because that is blasphemy. And it sounds like two drunk guys. You know, I love you with a deep breath. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it just, That's not the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus didn't say that.
That's
Peter
right.
didn't say that.
That's right.
The King James Bible is not in error. The new versions do the same with the text, with one horrible exception, and that's the Amplified. And did you note that the reason Peter was upset with Jesus' questions had nothing to do with the words? They would teach this and say that Peter was upset because Jesus was saying agape and he could only answer with phileo. You know how dumb that is?
Yeah.
No matter what version you're reading, the Bible, the text tells you why he's upset. He wasn't upset over linguistics, but the number of times Jesus repeated the question. It says right there in the text, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me?
Amen.
Yeah. See, that's why we're all to be Bereans. We hear this; these people teach, and if we will test what we hear by the Word of God, you'll sit there like I did most of the time for 15 years before I became a pastor. I'm sorry, I wanted to sit under people. I wanted to learn. I would go to churches. I spent months in churches just hoping God would, you know, use them to teach me something, and all I heard was absurdities.
Amen.
When they even bothered to try to teach anything. Most of the time, they didn't even try to teach. Peter had denied Jesus how many times?
Three times.
That's what Peter... Oh, yeah, sorry. Three. Yeah. That's what Peter was upset about. Why was that upsetting? You remember that was a prophecy that Peter fulfilled. In John 13:38, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's talking to Peter, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice.
Wow.
It was upsetting to Peter because he had denied Jesus three times, and now Jesus was asking him three times after being denied, do you love me? Do you love me?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you love me? Right. That's I love you.
Yeah.
That's what you're. I couldn't tell. Your thumb was hidden. I couldn't tell you. I thought you used to throw me the devil horn. Yeah. I was like, what? But that is sign language. I love you.
Yes.
So you ask, because the title said agape versus phileo, they're not against each other, they're friends. They phileo each other. So what other nonsense? Well, number four, the claim that the italicized words in the King James are not in the original. Raise your hand if you heard that before.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I've heard something like that.
That is pure ignorance. Not that you have heard it, but that it is taught. Here's an example. This is the King James Bible without italics in Psalm 12:5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set in safety, puffeth at him. I will set in safety, puffeth at him. Makes no sense. Amen?
Amen.
Just reminds me of Cammie because she does that a lot. She puffs. She gets it. Here's with the italics. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him.
Yeah.
See how that makes such a difference? Mm-hmm. Without the italicized words, you wouldn't know what you're even reading. Now, the NIV with no italics. You see, the NIV puts the exact same words in there, but they're just not honest enough to put it in italics. Everybody who's ever accused me of having a Bible that added words not in the original is carrying a Bible that adds words, just like the King James does, but lies or covers up the fact that they're supposed to be in italics. Every new version hides the italicized words. They're there, but they hide them. I will protect them from those who malign them. That's how they translate that in the NIV. They're hypocrites and liars. Those words should be italicized, just like they are in the King James. But more than that, here's what it would read like without it. I will protect malign them. Again, the ESV. They not only have the words without italics, they add the words for which he longs. You talk about adding words that aren't in the original. Nobody that I've read can explain why that's even there. But they too are not only hypocrites and liars, but perverts. They're perverting the word of God in addition. Here's how it would read without the italicized words. I will place safety. That's it. Hebrew and Greek speakers add italicized words since they understand those words to be there when they speak their language. In other words, if you read the Greek language text where there's italicized words in your English, when it's being spoken in Greek, the other guy hearing what you're saying automatically adds those words because they're not adding words. Those are inferred by the word usage, the word tense, the accent, and word order. If you understood their language, then they would be saying to you what would only have certain words, but they fill in the blank by what they hear, and they're not adding words. So when the King James translators put those words in, they put them in italics so that you would understand the words that are inferred by the word usage, the tense, and the word order, etc. But you would know that those words are what the hearer in Hebrew or Greek would hear when they're talking in that language.
Yeah, they're built into that.
Okay. They're built in. Wow. Johnny?
Would you say a good example of how we do that in English would be, like if you say to somebody, take out the trash? Yeah.
Or
like when we do, you know,
like, want some English,
coffee? Picking out the parts of the words, you infer the word you in there.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we got Jill.
How about when you say, the car needs cleaned?
Oh, yeah, that's a typical Ohio one.
To be cleaned. The car needs cleaned. And we understand.
Right.
To be,
same thing.
Even though we take it out.
Mary?
Are you saying it's like in Spanish?
Yes.
So you've got the verb go, but if you say, which is ear, but if you say vamanos, that means let's go. Mm. Let's go, but it's the same word, but in they hear it and they mean, oh, it means all of us, but they're not. That is so cool.
Yeah. And so from now on, if you hear somebody say, well, the King James added italicized words, number one, they're in all the new versions, but not italicized. And number two, it's because they're there. They didn't add anything. They're simply telling you what that sentence to a Greek speaker reading or hearing that sentence would hear exactly what you see in your King James Bible. And every new version does the same thing, but they don't put it in italics. Isn't that amazingly just... I mean, most of the people who do that don't realize they're doing it, but it's just dishonest.
You know what's simple? So if you worked as a translator,
yes,
and you heard something in German and you didn't say it in English with enough words to mean it, then you'd get fired.
You'd be a bad translator.
Yeah, they're just translating.
Yeah, all the King James translators did was translate, and they put the words that are inferred, not adding words, but inferred words, and the hearer in Greek or Hebrew would infer those naturally if they were hearing that text read to them out loud. All right, one more quick one for the road.
Yep.
Amen?
Sure.
Amen.
I can close it down now.
No.
You want one more?
Yeah.
All right, Olivia asked me this one, and I told her I was going to address it tonight. The claim that new versions are from the oldest and best manuscripts, which is why they're missing thousands of words and verses. See, they say that, well, the reason why the NIV is missing 3,000 words and verses is because they're taken from older and better manuscripts. And so they just gave you what was supposed to be there in the first place. They insinuate that for 2,000 years, all the Bibles used by Bible believers had thousands of words and verses that should have never been there in the first place. They have to admit that from the very beginning of church history, God blew it. Our Bibles for 2,000 years have been terribly corrupt. And all of a sudden, they're now saving us from that bad text. And they're taking out all these... Yeah, that's similar. Wow. So before I go to it, here's the explanation. Alexandrinus, Sinaiticus, and Vaticanus are the three manuscripts, for the most part, that new versions are taken from. Whether it's the Westcott-Hort text that produced the Revised Version and the 1901 American Standard, or the Nestle-Aland text that they used for the Revised Standard Version, or the United Bible Society's text, which now is used for all new versions, they all come from Vaticanus with edits. And where Vaticanus is either missing or just messed up, they patchwork it with something from Alexandrinus or Sinaiticus. And sometimes those are also bad. They go back to the King James Hebrew and Greek text and fill in the blanks there. The reason why those manuscripts, those three, basically we'll say the two, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, the reason they are so old is because they were rejected. Over 1,000 years ago, they were recognized by people who had brains that they were corrupt. They're, for starters, they're not even Koine Greek manuscripts. They're classical Greek. We know that the original Greek text was given in Koine Greek.
Yep.
The Alexandrinus, Sinaiticus, Vaticanus are in classical Greek. It's like the difference between today's English and what John Wycliffe spoke. Huge differences. But because they were rejected, they sat on a shelf. You understand that? The reason why they're still around is because they were rejected and sat on a shelf. Now, the manuscripts your King James Bible come from had to be constantly copied and copied and copied because they were used.
Yep.
And they would be used and used and they would fall apart. However, if you really want to teach that the oldest manuscripts are the best, then you will use the King James text, because the papyrus, small little pieces of manuscripts that exist dating back to the time right after the apostles' lives, within 20 years of John, who wrote Revelation, his death, those match our King James text.
Amen.
So if you're going to stick to the oldest is best, well, then get back to your King James Bible. And you say, well, I'm talking about complete manuscripts. Well, give it up. None of those are complete. Vaticanus is missing from Hebrews to Revelation. And so they go run into Sinaiticus and Alexandrinus. And you want more information on that issue of the manuscripts, David Daniels, Chick, and Jack Mormon, M-O-O-R-M-A-N, of Dean Burgon Society, Peter Ruckman and his manuscript evidence book, all those sources will tell you the truth about the manuscripts.
Amen.
The nonsense is utterly endless. Stick to our infallible King James Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Final word, I'll let the musicians come. Does anybody want to ask a question as they're coming up? Anybody got anything you want to comment on? Or Janie?
Did you flash back to number four?
Excuse me?
In the study.
She wants them before.
I think she wants pictures.
Well, all right, afterwards I'll get back.
Okay. The only one I didn't get a picture of.
Anybody else? All right. Well, I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Language. Good stuff.
Language.
Yeah.
Linguistics. John?
Yeah. When Pedro was here, he told me about the Holman Bible.
Yeah.
Where Calvary's gone, and they put skull. So I double checked the ESV, same thing. And the only one that matches the King James would be the New King James, as far as on that one verse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating to me that the entire Southern Baptist Convention is missing the word Calvary, and that the church we used to have a home with, the word Calvary's gone.
Yeah, they changed.
Now they made the ESV the Bible for the whole church.
Yeah, somebody showed me one time a list compiled of all the churches that 25 years ago, their name of their church included the word Calvary.
Yeah.
And they've changed it.
Wow.
And it's just a strange thing.
Amen.
But, you know, you can call your church whatever you want, but in one church doing it, 10 churches doing it, but this was hundreds of churches around the country who have dropped that from their name. So it's a strange thing. All right, 449, let's sing To God Be the Glory. You can stand if you can.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atoned.
For those prayer requests at bbfohio@protonmail.com, and Janie's collecting the cards in the house as we say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.
Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Love you.